Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. It is absolutely great to connect with all of you here. Hello, everyone listening online and also in the Sacred Space of Empowerment. It's wonderful to connect with everyone. Tamara, see some guests and new faces, and Trisho and Deborah, great to connect with you. And hello, everyone listening via Cosmic Dimensions, as well as the archives, and of course, iTunes, the place where many of our international listeners listen from, actually. Lot to cover. I put in the chat room the link to my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. I've got two posts on the Venus retrograde and the transit, Venus transit as well. And I did a little extra post on it last night because I've just been so inspired and I've changed my schedule so I can write more and I'm getting healthier. Many of you knew I was in a car accident and I really wasn't able to do as much writing. So I'm getting better and better. So I had a concussion. So left brain stuff not so easy to do when you're recouping from a concussion, when you have the post-concussion syndrome. Anyway, so the last post I did, I wove in some information on the soul rays. Many of you know we've been talking about that on and off for a bit. And then also how this is being expressed through the Tree of Life. I studied the Kabbalah years ago, and I thought I'm going to take a peek at this and see what spheres are being activated. So I want to dive into that a little bit. Tamara, thank you. Glad you're working through it so well. Yeah, you know, and I changed schedule. You know, I made some changes too. That's always good. A little bump on the noggin is an excuse. Well, I had to, you know, and even my acupuncturist said, you have new brain pathways now, and it wants to do things, to have a different schedule. So I've really been honoring that. Let's see. And we are going to get to questions and readings, and that number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you would like to be heard and you'd like to get on air. Our guest today is Dwayne Elgin. We'll be diving in, talking with him. He's been on the program before. Two great books out, Volunteer Simplicity, and it's actually in the new edition, and of course, The Living Universe. So we're going to dive in with him. So much going on, and I really, Tamara, my writing has been stellar. I know. I think because, you know, in my channeling, you know, there's been some, you know, positives. There always is, and even though it's been very challenging, but I'm, and perhaps maybe censoring less. I don't know when I'll talk about the aliens and being a walk-in, but I don't know, maybe at some point. But we're also, you know, and Tamara, you bring up a good point. We're at a very critical juncture right now, and things like having the awareness, the heads up of these cycles and transitions. And in fact, when Dwayne comes on the program, I want to get his take on it from a sociological point of view. He has a great book too. I think it's called Awakening Earth. And that book, it's an oldie but a goodie of his. I have read and reread that. His latest one is The Living Universe. Every now and then, there just are some books that you can just read over and over that they're so ahead of the curve. And what I like doing with a lot of times with books like that, as a psychic channel, getting my information, you know, from channeled, I'd like to see how it plays out, and I'd like to see where other people that have actually done research, how it all dovetails together, how it reinforces each other. So I think for anybody, if you're on a path, I think it's great to look at different, you know, different points of view, whether it's psychological, sociological, even the financial, environmental, because especially now we are in this converging flow, and I believe, you know, it's also another trend when trends begin to kind of flow together. And some of those trends, you know, or the converging flow of the awakening, you know, out of that harmonic convergence, we now moved into the converging flow where everything flows together, whether it's international crises, coming from the Latin means choice point, personal choices, environmental, we've got climate changes. And then my guides had said, and Spirit had said, from 2003 on, we would be having, you know, shifting or adjustments in earth, air, fire, and water, and we have been. So it's kind of interesting to look at how everything is converging. More people, you know, I had a client the other day say, oh my God, more people even on TV are talking about the soul. Well, I've been talking about the soul, writing about the soul, channeling about the soul since the mid-80s. And let me tell you, no one wanted to hear about it. I think, and I was telling, you know, my clients, oh my God, well, you're that far advanced. I said, well, I think it's more likely with the internet that some of us that got this information earlier were now able to connect and share. That's perhaps also part of the converging flow. Before, you kind of felt like, you know, little lone person in a sea of other realities. So, you know, but everybody comes in with what they're supposed to be teaching and focusing on. And the time for a lot of the information is now. That's why I'm doing more of the writing. I'm actually going through some of my older channelings and writings that reflect what's happening now, because that information is so relevant right now. And I want to, you know, I'm listening to what I receive as well and responding to that. And I want to share as much as I can and help and assist as many people as I can. And that's part of the reason why I do the program. And just to see also, you know, hear other people's input and stories and what they're going through. You know, it's really not only heartwarming but inspiring. So that is really my commitment, so much so this year especially and beyond. So before we get to the phone lines, and we definitely will, and again, that press 1 on the keypad if you want to get a question answered. I really want to talk, please, if you have a chance, and especially if you've been feeling, you know, some undercurrents from people you're in relationship with, whether personally, on a professional level, a business level. People are going to be a bit testy and projecting a lot. In fact, also on my website, the projection perception is something to take a peek at as well, because, you know, there's a lot of stuff up in regards to relationship. We're really in a major push till about this time next year, and it started last year. So whatever, from January of 2011 for 18 months is really the push to kind of cleanse and clear in the way of relationship. Let's see. Oh, I forgot. Before we dive in, a couple things I want to share. If you're going to ask personal questions, you've really got to call in the program or schedule an appointment, because I do more general questions that people email me. I love the questions. In fact, you email at awakenings@selfandlight.com. That's awakenings@selfandlight.com. But if it's really specific to you, it's just better that I tune in, because then I'm doing a personal reading. And I don't mind doing those for people calling in the program. But if it's really particular and I need to really hone in on your energy and your signature frequency, then I really need you to either call in the program, the show, on Wednesday between 12 and 12:45, or schedule an appointment. We've got, and remember, we're doing our contest for a giveaway. We're going to have some little heartfelt, just little thank you appreciation gifts. If you will email at awakenings@selfandlight.com where and how or when you listen to Awakenings. And so we have Daniel that emailed saying he listened to about a year ago, lives in Paris. I love that. I lived in Paris for a while. Used to listen to the show in the metro, and now uses the bike system, which is great. For 30 euros a year, you can take a bike at any stand, use it for 30 minutes before parking it at another stand, and do that over and over to your heart's content. And so he listens while dodging cars, motorcycles, pedestrians, long dog leashes, cycling around the big city. I love it. And then he says, today he started listening to the latest show in his favorite cheap Indian restaurant, 5 euros for lunch. Boy, that is cheap. That's good. The show gave that long, gray, low-ceiling box of a room more space and dimension. As he was leaving, he noticed an arcade that he hadn't yet explored, though he walked by it all the time. He says he went in to find numerous Pakistani barbershops, on Mauritius Diner and Middle Eastern Cafe full of men playing backgammon. Says, thank you for the food for thought that has led to sensations, feelings, curiosity, and inspiration. And also hello to Paulo. He may not be a regular on the show these days, but for me, it's like he's still on. Big hug. Thank you, Daniel. So another one, I really love this. So just shoot us a little email, awakenings@selfandlight.com. Where, how, when do you listen to Awakenings? And we're going to be doing a little something with that. I'm collecting them, so via email. Then we had a question from a listener. I'm feeling a strong desire to make dietary changes. Would this help with the new changes that are happening? What kind of changes to the diet is best? I actually go also into this a lot on my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. I talk about foods, drinking more water for the shift and the whole awakening and ascension process. What I can say is lots more fruits, vegetables, deep greens, a lot more protein. You want to make sure you're getting enough protein, enough amino acids, a good, nice multivitamin, B complex. Fish oils help us also. And you want to make sure you're getting enough healthy or good sugars, because the brain, there's a lot of brain changes that are taking place. So you really want to be nurturing and nourishing your brain, especially because we're having, we're not only adapting and updating our inner software, which is our brain, the mind as well, how we think, our beliefs, how we put things together, how we view things, perception. We're moving from mental thinking into becoming more intuitive, sensing, feeling, working with the subtle energy. And I have, in fact, there's some videos on YouTube that go into this as well, about how to tap into the subtle energy. And also, I believe either the last post that I did on the Venus retrograde and Venus transit, there's some links there to developing your intuition more, tapping into the subtle energy, what is the shift, and also meditation. So those kinds of things are really important. I say dietary because dietary comes from the idea of having a regime or a system. So I would kind of sneak in more meditation, more outdoor time, in nature if possible. That also can be, really healthy right now. So it's not just what we ingest. The other thing is more water. And if you can get water that has, I would say more mineral, because again, we're working with Thank you for your patience. I'm not sure what was happening. got booted off or something. Anyway, it didn't sound like I got disconnected. But anyway, more water, more walking. I look at, like I was saying a minute ago, I look at, you know, a diet is a regime or a way of eating. I think what you need to put out into a regime too is more meditation time and being in the meditative state, connecting in to the upper chakras. I've got also on the YouTube, my Light Being 21 on YouTube, there is the Ascension Meditation and also Ascension Attunement. So any of those kinds of things will be helpful, but I really go into a whole long list, Deborah, that called in, and I was going to try to get the link put in, but I think if you just go to my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, you can either look through the list of topics or what's named, and you'll see it in there. And I think it's Foods for the Shift, for the Awakening and the Shift. I've got, I think, two on foods and then one specifically to water as well. And I posted a wonderful ascension shake, I call it, or a shake for the shift. That's a wonderful shake that I do in the morning, a protein shake that's really protein smoothie, has spirulina, chlorella, it has I think some bee pollen, whey protein powder. And you can do, sometimes I do with a banana, sometimes not. If I'm doing it early in the morning, I'll usually do a banana, and then if later, I don't do the banana. But you are going to find that you're going to have a push for dietary changes right now. So really tune in. If you're craving a lot of sugar, check and see if make sure you're getting enough protein in your diet, because that usually means that you're not and make sure hormones are in balance, you know, reproductive hormones as well as the thyroid, thymus, pituitary, you know, just make sure. Tissue salts are a wonderful thing to take. Box flower remedies are very helpful. Herbal supplements, you know, I take echinacea and golden seal if I feel a little something coming on, by Zand. To me, that's the best formulation for it. So really connecting back in, less synthetic, but back into natural processes of health and healing as much as you can. And remember to have the mineral intake there as well, because as I said earlier, and I don't know if you heard me because we lost connection, you know, we're connecting more to the crystalline grid and our crystalline nature. That's the mental plane. But it's going to be a different type of mental plane than mentally figuring things out. It's going to be where our flashes of insight come in, kind of like we're moving away from over-emotional-based living, the astral plane, into more the mental or causal plane, and in more into the spiritual plane or the area of the light body or the Merkaba. So some of you are feeling you need to lighten up with the diet. Some of you are feeling you need more grounding. Usually I'm finding people are needing more protein, more water. Broccoli is great as well. And to get those healthy sugars, which of course you can definitely get with a good dose of fruits and a little 70% chocolate every now and then, or whatever, desserts. I do that too. I just don't make a habit of it, you know, maybe every day. But there are things, you know, gluten-free cookies, things like that. There's I'm finding not a need for a lot of grains. I think that's one thing that's changing for many people, unless maybe brown rice or something, or quinoa, or, you know. But email me. Let me know, awakeningsatselfandlight.com, what you're doing. Actually, I'd love to hear any awareness of what's going on for you on a diet, a food level, or what's helping you. You know, a lot of people are talking about not being able to sleep or sleeping a lot, or, you know, especially with this Venus retrograde and the Venus transit, a lot of confusion, things coming back from the past to clear up. So I'll share what I'm seeing working, whether for myself and other people that I'm working with or just colleagues of mine, but I'd love to hear back as well. All right, let's get to those phone lines. Looking forward to it. Hello, 515-229. You're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Carson.
Hi. Hey, Carson. Hi.
Hey. Yeah, good to connect with you, too. Yeah, I just had a question. I talked to you about it before a little bit, but I'm in massage school right now. And mm-hmm. I've probably got about 6 months left with that. And I'm feeling really ready to, like, transition out of the job that I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. Feel, like, energetically really done with it. But mm-hmm. I don't know, should I just wait it out, wait till I'm done with massage school and kind of start down that path? Or, you know, is there a change I should make right now in the meantime?
No, which not right now. Read my blog. Read my blog, the last two posts, and then okay. I think two or three before the about the Venus retrograde. But Carson, you are doing exactly what everyone needs to be doing right now. What mm-hmm. should I do? Asking the question to yourself, you know, to spiritual teachers, to friends, to people you feel safe with, mm-hmm. to your higher self, and then be receptive. We're right now to be looking at, what do I value? What do I appreciate? Where do I want to go? What feels like it's over, or what needs to be adjusted or changed? And that's in relationships with people, but it's also in relationships to our job and what we do and our lifestyle. You know, Venus brings mm-hmm. in that whole idea also of lifestyle, what we appreciate, how do we appreciate, how do we feel fulfilled, how do we feel loved. I feel with you, as soon as you started talking, I do feel it's not going to be 6 months. You can do Reiki or start with energy work. You can start transitioning. But I would say you need to do more feeling it out and tuning in. I talked this my last post that I did today, which is called what is it called? Venus. It's the Venus transit and how it's influencing the soul, the fourth and sixth soul ray, and also the Tree of Life. It's activating Tipperith and Doth, the area of trust from mm-hmm. the tree. So what I say there, one of the things that we're all being tested on is to be patient. Because we're kind of like in a little kettle right now. We're kind of we're boiling, right? We want to get out. We want to talk. Let's jump. Let's do. Mm-hmm. But we're really to temper that and wait for the right opening. But doing exactly what you're thinking of and writing it out. I want to do this, or I could do this. Research it out. Mm-hmm. Would I like to do this? Would I like to go here? I would say for many people, you're going to see windows opening of new directions, concrete new directions. End of the summer, August, September, October, November, especially after Saturn will be leaving in October. Saturn will be leaving Libra and going into Scorpio. So those of that didn't jump bait and push, you know, the boulder up the hill, it's not rolling back on you. You'll have some positive surprises at that time where some things magically ease up and open. But mind you me, it's not because you didn't work for it. This has not been an easy cycle, right? This has been a testing cycle. It has not been, there's a lot of intense energy up, and it's making people want to move quickly, get in something or get out of something or change that job, move, you know, break up, jump into the relationship, because there's a lot of underlying anxiety because of the earth changes, also the uncertainty. So people want to get that. So if you can wait it out, you will have clear direction and will have a more of a plan in place. But yeah. I feel for you, the energy work, the Reiki, you can start, you know, with that. Maybe there's even some classes or workshops, and then start building your community, connecting with people, building your community so that you can be of service through your healing work.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. I guess I thought for some reason that I needed to complete massage school before going into energy work, but maybe that's not true, actually.
No, not at all.
Okay. Yeah. I guess so. You don't need to have a certification to train in Reiki or other energy work.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah, good to hear your voice, Carson. Take care.
That sounds great. Thanks so much. You too.
Bye-bye. Hello, 216-381. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Deborah.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi, and who is this?
Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I got a complicated question. I think it feels complicated to me. It might not be to you. But my thing is that I don't know whether it's that I need to work on controlling my emotions or if the situation that I'm having an issue with is just me or how to let it go, or I really don't know what to do. It's basically I keep feeling these negative feelings around my husband going weekly to spend, you know, an evening with his daughter, his adult daughter. And it just feels like that's what he used to do with me. He would come, we would go out on a date, and, you know, we spend time together, but he would only come once a week because we lived like 45 minutes apart from each other. We've been married for several years, just celebrated the anniversary, but for some reason, whenever he goes and when he announces it, I wouldn't mind if he went, but it's just because he announces it, or I'm going to spend time with, you know, his daughter, and he announces it, I just feel it down in my gut. Like, it just feels like, ew. Like, and then so then today I thought I had come up with what was bothering me, that, you know, can we have a day that's also special that you and I do something that, you know, so that way when he goes and spend time with her, I don't have to feel like, you know, well, where's my special time? Because I was, you know, I can remind myself that Tuesday we went out and had our special time. And he says that our special time.
But now the thing is, Deborah, it's his daughter is what I'm hearing. And I do feel it's something you need to work through. And I think the projection perception would help you, or the 5-step emotional clearing process. Because it's actually fine if for an adult to say, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go to the store, or I'm going to go visit Jack, or I'm going to go visit, you know, Mary today, my friend, or I'm going to go visit my daughter. Really don't, there's certain things we don't really have to ask permission, you know, unless you have plans already, and then it's like, well, hon, can you go to, you know, later or earlier, because I want to go, we're going to go to the movies, or can we get a bite to eat first, or I'll drop you off, you know, those things. But I do feel in your nature there's a lot of suspicion and mistrust. I don't know if he was having an affair before or something was going on, but I feel there is some areas of mistrust that you have to work through on your own, and then also with him, not having to do anything with the daughter, because I really don't feel it's about
with her, and it's not even mistrust of him. It's just me wanting to feel like I'm special too. Why does she, the only one, gets a day out that you make a standing appointment for? Where's my standing appointment once a week? And that just because we're in the house, you know, or sleeping at night.
Well, you live with him. Maybe you plan something and get the ball rolling.
I just like to feel like he's putting as much energy into me as he is everywhere else. I mean, everywhere else gets to see him when he's happy, and she gets to see him once a week when he's happy, and I only get to see him when he's here dealing with the day-to-day the stuff when he's frustrated.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, Deborah, plan something, you know, initiate a few things, plan some things, and I feel down the road, you could maybe in about 3 weeks or a month, you can have a conversation on this once you've done some of your own inner work on it. I think now if you spring it on him, you guys, it'll just be tension and he'll shut down. But you're in it, more than what we can go through right now on air. I feel you're in a major learning curve, learning cycle. And it is about, there is some issues I do feel about trust or abandonment, or I don't know. There are some deep-seated issues I do feel that you're also being triggered. Maybe you were you more helpful to him in the beginning of the relationship, helping him through some things?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's what it is. See, you're in that role. You're kind of in that role, and now you want to switch it. And it's not to say you can't. I mean, we were meant to express through many roles, many ways of being, but that's up to us. People won't change how they relate to us until we change how we relate to ourselves and how we relate to the world. So if I'm stuck only in the helper position, and that's, people begin to see you that way. But once you start changing, oh, I'm also the artist. I'm also I go to the movies by myself. I do this. Once you start having different modes of expression, different ways of expressing, different roles, other people will see you differently and to respond to you differently. It's very hard, believe me. I work with clients all the time in my counseling practice that try to get people to change before they've changed. People just won't do it. You can't say, see me this way. See me as a romantic partner when you've been the helper partner or you've been the go-to person and cry on the shoulder person. It's very hard. So once you start seeing yourself differently and living differently, that opens a door. Other people have to respond to you differently. All right, my dear. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Keep me posted how it's going, okay?
All right, I will.
Please. Okay. And that's perfect for it to come up right now. Go in, last two blog posts on the Venus retrograde and transiting Venus go into this. Right now, disruptions and eruptions are more likely in relationship because we're wanting to have more fulfillment or more of an exchange or different type of exchange, so there's been some growth. But you can't just demand it. There's a way to do it. You know, Tamara put in the chat, we're learning how to get our needs met from a healthy place. Yeah, that's it. That's okay. Hello, 901-406. Welcome to Awakenings. Okay, I'll come back to you. 901-406, you're on air. I hear me in the background. Okay, did I do this one? 216-381, was this Devorah?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, perfect. Okay. Let's see. Hello, 860-912, welcome to Awakening.
Hello, thank you so much for taking my call. And
what's your first name?
Kristen.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
I could relate to the earlier caller of really wanting to get out there and needing that patience. So that was brilliant. I've heard it many times about hearing that patience. And I have done a lot of work with going in and asking spirit, you know, how am I, what is my gift, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing. And I'll get little hits here and there, but I have been doing a lot of waiting. It's a lot of waiting. It's not the right time. And I really am desiring to help people connect to spirit and connect, you know, in very meaningful ways. And I thought I might do a workshop with somebody, and this is where the relationship comes up. And I went to a workshop with this woman that she was co-facilitating, not with myself, but with somebody else. And there was a lot of backbiting and talking about
mm-hmm.
each other. And I got so upset because here I was, I had this opportunity. I was going to do workshops with this woman because she knows what she's doing and I don't. So this would be a great opportunity for me to learn from her. And I really had to sit and meditate, and that's not the energy that I can have right now with anybody, somebody that would talk behind somebody's back and say one thing about connecting to your authentic self and having authentic relationships and then doing something completely different.
Mm.
So that was a heartbreak, but I also know, like you said, things are coming up for clearing for people. And so happy, though, that I could see that mirrored and say, you know what, I don't want to live in the world of duality. You know, everybody's on their path, doing the best they can. So that feels, that is good. So you asked about relationships. For me, I'm wondering if you could tune into my energy. And I guess what I'm wondering is my desire to work with people in as a spiritual teacher, helper. But what is my delivery mechanism for myself, in terms of, is it through writing with people? Is it through direct connection? Is it through touch? Is it through, and I've been asking a lot, you know, is it through dance? And I get little.
You can incorporate all those things. You have a very, it's showing a very firm but loving. I feel a lot on love, self-love, self-acceptance, almost like people feeling good enough to go out there. You could work with people's belief systems, helping them shift their belief systems to believe in themselves, life, the power, the magic. I feel for you, there could be, I do feel more one-on-one with you, and I do feel so, you do have the gift, I feel, of writing as well, but also I'm feeling vocalizing. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I thank you for affirming the whole idea of shifting belief systems, because that really has been, for me, what I have been thinking more of, you know, doing some coaching with people and having that belief system of, you know, being empowered
right.
in this process and all
right.
the, and what's holding us back.
That's where I would go with it. So any kind of coaching, hypnotherapy, you can incorporate dance or movement if you're working, you know, doing a workshop or something. But I would definitely go in that direction. And
of one-on-one.
I would say, right, yeah, it feels like one-on-one and some groups. There is something, I do feel that you do have also an aspect of the healing touch. You could do that, but that also could just mean that you may work more with people in front of you or actually touching them, touching their hand, or you may be very tactile. Another thing you could do is even work with sand play. Look at that. I feel you're very good with archetypes or interpreting. Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting because I did that. That's so interesting you said that. I did that over a year ago, and it was so profound to me.
Okay.
I was blown away by that. I was just like, I thought, I'm not going back to be a therapist. You know, like, I'm not going to certify to be a therapist. I went with a therapist who was doing that. But that might be something that maybe I don't have to be a therapist to do sand play.
Right. Just, I find, you know, start taking various workshops, you know, you can weave something together, get some good basic training, counselor training, how to communicate. I mean, there's a certain pattern, there's a certain verbiage, there's a certain way that you speak in session, you know, that then there's certain boundaries, but getting some basics and then just build from upon that with what you find has worked for you or what you, you know, like doing. But this is good. I'm glad. This is the time to really reevaluate and look and see, you know, that is a trend right now. That is part of the converging flow of people awakening is wanting more fulfillment in their life, wanting more love, light, wisdom, more fulfillment, career choices, you know, dietary choices, environmental choices, living lifestyle choices that are, you know, as Tamara had said in the chat, healthier, but really more fulfilling, more life-enhancing, that really resonate more to the truth of a person's true essence or soul, not something from the constructed ego or just that's more surface or society-based, you know, or manufactured through the media. So you're definitely asking the right question.
Thank you so much. I have a crying girl, so I'm going to go right now. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're very, very welcome. Much peace. I can hear it there. Yeah, that trend for more fulfillment seems to be really, really highlighted right now. And I think it's a good thing. Again, for calls, again, 12 to 12:45, we do our readings. I did get some other emails in about some questions for air on air. We will bring those up next week. But if you do have questions or comments for our guest at this point or in regards to what we're talking about, that number is 347-539-5122. Pressing 1 on the keypad lets me know that you want to be heard, you want to get on air. Our guest today, which I'm so happy to bring back, of course, is Duane Elgin, who's an internationally recognized speaker, author, and media activist. His books include The Living Universe, Promise Ahead, Voluntary Simplicity, and Awakening Earth. He's worked as a senior staff member of the Presidential Commission of the American Future and as a senior social scientist with the think tank SRI International, where he co-authored numerous studies of long-range future. And, of course, in 2006, Duane received the International Goy Peace Award in recognition of his contribution to a global vision, consciousness, and a lifestyle that fosters a more sustainable and spiritual culture. Two of his recent books, Voluntary Simplicity, is now out in a new edition. And, of course, the most recent book is The Living Universe. Hello, Duane. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
Yes, it's so great. I know you're so busy all the time, so with all your projects, so I'm glad that you could come back. I'm finding this is a very pivotal time right now, so it's great to have you back on air and get your take on what's been going on. You've been doing, which I took a look at, and I put it earlier in the chat, a wonderful, I guess, project, web-based project called The Transition Stories. I'd love to dive into that. What exactly was your impetus for doing The Transition Stories, and how do you see that as holding a place in this great transition that we're in?
Great. Well, as you mentioned, I've done work, at the president's with the president's science advisor, with the National Science mm-hmm. Foundation, and others, and what they want to look at are policies and mm-hmm. policies for climate and transportation and such. But underneath those policies are unquestioned stories, and for example, an unquestioned story that underlies a lot of policy making these days is the traditional American dream of that affluence will bring us happiness, that the more money we have, the happier we'll be. And that, the world just isn't working that way anymore, and the old American dream is just not working. And so basically, if we are going to move into the future with a sense of confidence, with a sense of clarity, with a sense of purpose, we need to have a deeper narrative, a deeper story about what's going on that will give us guidance, that will be a beacon of direction for moving into the future. So I've been working as a futurist now for 40 years, and I started looking around, and what I saw were individuals going out there and saying, well, here is the story. It's a story of, for example, planetary birth, or it's a story of global awakening, or it's a story of a heroic journey of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, Michelle, it was one story. And mm-hmm. that's fine, but often people, I think, went away feeling dissatisfied that didn't really fill out the scope of the future they mm-hmm. wanted to explore. And so what we have been doing quietly for over 2 years is gathering together these deep stories of great transition. And, for example, the hero's journey as one story. And we could talk about that. That humanity isn't a villain. We're heroes on a heroic journey of awakening. Another story would be that of the global brain turning on. And we see that with the with the Arab Spring movement and others. And so often, Michelle, I go out and I speak with people and I say, well, how do you see the world? And it's mm-hmm. very disturbing to me because I get these three-word answers back. And they'll be something mm-hmm. like, well, we're going over the cliff, or we're going to mm-hmm. hit the wall, or we're going in the ditch. Or it's like three words. And for heaven's sakes, we can do so much better than this in terms of our collective imagination for a future that's rich and that really draws from our deep life experience. So that's what this is really all about.
The one thing I like, and metaphysically we call it coming out of this harmonic convergence of the late 80s and moving in this converging flow where everything starts to come together in this great awakening. Everybody's kind of converging, or their ideas, and but also climatic changes are converging. Obviously, political, social, political, environmental crises. Also, one of the things I noticed on your site, greattransitionstories.org, was you start weaving the stories together, and you actually do under trends. I found this so brilliant, but so like you, Duane, because I still got to tell you that Awakening Earth is almost like my Bible. I read that
Thank you.
But you weave the stories together, and you also, which no one else has done yet, which I thought was just brilliant, is you start listing the various trends. So we can see how in all these different areas or sectors, there really is this great transition taking place.
Yes.
And how did you, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get the idea to do that, to bring all that together?
Well, almost 40 years ago, I co-authored a book with Joseph Campbell, the great scholar of the world's wisdom traditions and such. And I worked with him, and Margaret Mead was an advisor to the project and so on. And that got me started on looking at what you might call big history. What's going on with the whole human family? How is it all working out for us as a whole? And so bit by bit, I began to accumulate, and this has been decades of learning, to come to a place where I could, where two years ago I'd finally developed four core stories, or become familiar enough with them. They're already there. They're out there in the world in biology, some in psychology, some in mythology, and so on. They're out there. But I'd become familiar enough with them to bring them into writing and the work that I was doing and so on. And I said, okay, here's four, and Kali, this is really, I can't think of any more. And people said, well, what about indigenous wisdom? Did you include that? I said, God, you know, I really didn't. Well, what about planetary birth as a metaphor and story? Did you include that? No, actually, I didn't. Well, what about the caterpillar turning to the butterfly as a story? Did you include that? No, actually, I didn't. And so do you see what happened? All of a sudden, now we've got more than a dozen stories of great transition. And they're drawn from biology, some from cosmology, some from psychology. But the point is, if we want to get beyond a three-word description of where we're going, and we want to look at a really rich future, one of reconciliation, say, of men and women, of religions, of with other species, and so on and so on, here is a collected resource that's been decades in basically in development. And I see this as a real treasure. It's open source. It's free. It's nonpartisan. We're not pushing an agenda. We're not pushing any particular
people. Oh, so it is
people.
Open source. Okay,
it's
that's great.
It's completely open source.
I love it.
It's all free. And here's how I look at it. We're essentially, it's all hands on deck. We're out of time. It's time.
Okay.
This is not the time for, you know, to try and profit from this kind of work. It's rather, it's time to say, let's pull together in this kind of work, and to tell ourselves new and compelling stories for a promising future. And so now that we've pulled this material together, now we're reaching out. We're going into the Hollywood community and saying, you can tell better stories than the Hunger Games. That's a story of failed transition.
Yeah.
We can, businesses, if you're going to keep your valued employees as a business, you better have not only a good product, you better have a good story about that business and where it's going in the face of a world in deep transition like you're speaking about. So when people look, you talk about the converging flow. Opportunity is meeting adversity. This is the time of transition. Well, how do we explain that to ourselves? And if we say, well, golly, you know, let's use the metaphor of just growing up. Humanity is growing from its adolescence and into its adulthood. We're just maturing. And then people say, you mean that's all that's going on? We're just growing up? Yeah. Oh, all of a sudden it makes sense. Of course, of course. And, well, if that's what's going on, well, I'm not intimidated by that. I've already been through that. And we can
work with that. But you talk about that in your well, all of your books, actually.
Yeah.
But specifically the Living Universe, you really do go into those stages quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, Duane, if because the explanation and the narrative isn't there. There's not enough. You said, you know, you get those three-word or three-sentence,
right.
you know, answers.
Word.
And it is all consuming. Yeah. I, on a daily basis, get, yeah, it's all going, you know, it's, we're not going to make it. It's, the world is going to blow up. Someone just told me the other day, the earthquake's coming. I said a dream. It's 8 points. And I'm like, okay, well, just, maybe it's because that there's not enough of choices or of opportunities and also the weaving of the transition, that people kind of roll back into kind of Hunger Games, what was it, Mad Max or Blade Runner. You know, everybody's back there. You know,
yeah.
Everybody.
So all of the visions of the future we have are very dark visions.
Yes.
And they're visions of a failed future, and like Blade Runner and Hunger Games and so on. And what we're saying is, as we think, so we become. In the Bible, it says, if where there's no vision, the people perish. If we don't have a vision for the future in the face of the kind of challenges that we're facing, we're going to perish, or a lot of folks are going to perish needlessly. So what we're saying is, one of the most important things that we could possibly do right now is to cultivate narratives in our collective imagination that can help guide us into a more sustainable future. And so it isn't just personal, it's collective. And that then takes us immediately into media, and what the media is not only offering us, but doing to us. And what the media is doing is really dumbing us down as a species, as a humanity. It's not giving us the awakening kind of hopeful, promising visions of the future. One of the key areas of concern I have is not only the stories that we tell, but the storytelling machines of television that people rely upon, and the stories that they tell. So I think it's time not only to tell new stories, it's time to take back the airways that really tell the stories that we're no more than consumers to be entertained, when in fact we're citizens that want to be informed and engaged in our future.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Take it back. And
yeah.
I like what you said too, if you don't have a vision, because in essence, it is kind of like, what is it, that theory of the vacuum. If you don't put something there, something's going to fall there. You know, at some point.
Yeah,
exactly. So it sounds like what I'm getting from you is that, you know, and I call it mitigating consciousness or mitigating intelligence, that things can be made less. And maybe this is just, I don't know if it's been wishful thinking, but things don't have to get so extreme if something is done or we look at something differently.
That's
and
right.
To me, right, what you're saying is this idea of a new vision, a new way of looking at things, starts putting that there, that things don't have to get so extreme in the disruption.
That's right. We can. There are two ways that we can do this. One is we can, in our imagination, we can look ahead and we can say, if we continue along this path, where is it going to lead us? And it's getting pretty clear where it's going to lead us. It's going to lead to an extraordinary, in my estimation, catastrophe. And we can go into the figures for that and all that. But we can say, we can look into our imagination and say, no, I don't want to go there. Or we can just ignore what's going on and go there in physical reality. And what's happening right now is that we're not using our social imagination, and we are going there in physical reality. And it's like the alcoholic that says, you know, in retrospect, I didn't have to lose the job, the family and the car and the house and all of that. I didn't have to. You know, I could have done it otherwise, I realize. But actually, I guess I just had to hit bottom before I'd really turn things around. And we're the same way as a human family. We don't have to hit bottom.
We don't have to, though.
No, we don't. but it's like, you know, neither did the alcoholic. But it's like we got a learning to do here. And that's a deep and important part of the transition. So it's not that the pain, the suffering is the fire of initiation. It's just going to burn through the boundaries that have separated us in the past, And it's going to, I think, fuse us into a new amalgam, a new kind of conscious community as a human family. You know, one thing I just find incredibly fascinating is that we almost went extinct about 72,000 years ago. Most people
Wow.
don't know this. I didn't know that. This is relatively new knowledge, but it's been verified again and again by science. And here's what happened. About 72,000 years ago, there was this enormous volcano in Indonesia, and it was called Mount Toba, and it just exploded. And it was it would be like taking Mount St. Helens and having 3,000 of those going off all at the same time. And in fact, it created an instant winter time all around the world, and it killed off virtually all of the humans on the planet at the time. And geneticists now understand that there was a small community, probably less than 1,000 people, that was in the southeastern part of Africa. They survived, and it was out of that small community of less than 1,000 people that the entirety of the human family now has derived. The entirety. And that means that we are all cousins. We're all related. And this has genetically been demonstrated conclusively. So, you know, it's you talk about converging flow. Here we were 72,000 years ago, almost extinct. Today, we're 7 billion people, and we're converging together into a common humanity that says, we're all cousins here. Let's learn how to live as a single human family.
I love that. I love the positive view. I think that's so needed right now. Now, Tony, we have a question from Susie Pink in the chat room. Are we always in a state of transition? We are born, live, and die, and are always changing in between. Second question, what causes transition, and is it necessary for our evolution?
Oh, great question. Always in transition, yes.
Okay.
Yes, at every moment. And when a person looks back, there was a point of birth, there was a point of death, and there was a point of, let's say, awakening and so on. So there are transitions, and then there are extraordinary major transitions. And if you look at the evolution of the human family, we've been in a separation, in my estimation, for about 45,000 years. And that's when we woke up. We can see this in the archaeological evidence, and we started pulling back from nature, and we started dominating nature. And so we've been separating ourselves very purposely, very deliberately, and becoming more and more individuated, more and more powerful, more capable, and all the rest. And now we've become so powerful, we're overwhelming the earth. So this is a transition unlike any that the human family has ever experienced. So, one, we're always in transition, yes. Number two, there has never been a transition like this where we go back to a world where it's whole once again, because the circle is closed, there's no escape from climate change, species extinction, and all the rest. So this is a profound transition. I could say a lot more about that, actually.
Do you feel that we went as far as we could in the separation or separating out? Now we have to come back together.
That's going to be tested very, very shortly. Literally within like the next decade. For example, just look at the euro right now, the financial system. They have the choice: are we going to pull together as in a larger common union? Or are we going to fragment back into nation states and then sub-states?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The point is, it's really up for grabs right now. And what we each do and what we each contribute to the situation actually matters. And this is one of those rare times in human history when it's actually up for grabs. Most of the time, you just can't move things. They just won't change. But as you were saying earlier, this is a time of transition, of chaos, of flow. And it's the unexpected. So this is also a time of opportunity to engage and have those small engagements make a big difference in the long haul. So this is
really,
yeah.
Dwayne, what you're saying that it what is happening, you know, individually or let's say in small groups or communities as well is really making a difference.
Very.
That does.
Yeah, you see, I think what's happening is that the real innovation is happening at the real grassroots level. And I could speak long about that, of innovations in housing, an eco-village, it might be called, or co-housing, or a pocket village, or a pocket neighborhood. We're trying to learn how to live together differently. We're trying to learn how to turn cities into urban gardens, for example. Just on and on, we're trying to relocalize our lives, rebuild community. We came together in community for security and to belong together and to have a sense of really common purpose, and we've lost that, and now we're beginning to reconstitute that, I think, as we see the world unraveling around us. So this is a time of extraordinary transition where we're being called into new territory. This has never happened before, and we're being called not only into new territory but new kinds of vocations. And I listened to some of the callers, and we are being asked not only to reclaim, not to reclaim our old jobs, but to create new work. And I'm seeing, for example, a lawyer at the same time doing some work on the side as a carpenter, at the same time doing work in, say, conflict resolution, and a nurse at the same time working in child care, and then at the same time doing work in some an educational role. In other words, oftentimes I think we're going to have 2, 3, and 4 different jobs that we're going to be doing in small and different ways at the community level that will create a new kind of livelihood and a new kind of community for us.
So in a way, I mean, it sounds like, and I'm right with you, that this paradigm shift, though, there does need to be on a broader base this narrative out there and this explanation.
Yes.
Because in a sense, what I hear, Duane, you saying, you're going to have to give permission to a lot of people to think differently.
Right.
That it's not just one job for 25 years or 50 years, or you have to retire at 65 and go in the mobile home, you know,
exactly.
Whatever it is.
No,
so, gosh, yes. How do you do that?
Well, once again, if we can imagine it, we can create it. And in the United States, we watch, as a country, over 1 billion person hours of television each day, a billion person hours a day. Now, what if we were taking some percentage of that billion person hours of television viewing and saying, let's watch maybe through the lens of comedy. Let's make fun of a world in transition. Let's look at villages trying to come together, people under situations of really difficulty. But instead of making it depressing and all the rest, let's look at the humor in all of that. Or you know, if you turn on television, you see these artificial survivor stories. Well, how about doing real survivor stories and taking the camera right into the midst of Africa or some other setting where it's really a challenging situation. You can just go on and on. Once you open it up.
Or, Duane, someone even being financially hit and coming back and creating that job of the woodworker that's also the academic professor, the lawyer. You know?
Exactly. Let's look at these integrated professions. How do people feel? Are they happier in their lives? What if they're way happier in their lives? And let's start looking at that.
Now, you have something. I love this also on the site. Again, those of you just tuning in, we are speaking with Duane Elgin, and we're talking about the great transition that's going on. A couple of his sites, greattransitionstories.org and DuaneElgin.com. And, of course, he is the author of The Living Universe and Voluntary Simplicity. Something you have on the website, on the homepage of greattransitionstories.org, is Humanity's Journey of Great Transition. I'm looking at it now. If people that want to get a visual, go to your computer. You have at the top left, as I'm looking at it, you've got beginning the journey, and then it's phase one, separation, and then it's going down. There's a wall. It says evolutionary wall, supreme test and great transition. And then you have it coming up, phase two, the return, completing initial journey, this return. Can you give some more insight into that? I know we're in the supreme test right now, right?
Well, this is really interesting because I say to people, if we just boil this down to its essentials and say there are three stages, separation, initiation, return. And we have been talking about separation. And I say, are we now in a stage of initiation? And about half the public, I ask these questions all around the world, about half the public says, for sure, we are now in the stage of initiation. And the other half has said, well, I'm not so sure we've actually gotten there yet. But the point is, we are in the zone of initiation. We're moving distinctly into it. Now, so then the question is, well, what does this look like on the other side of initiation? And that's what all of these stories of great transition are about. They're essentially positive stories because they say, well, on the other side, a great transition is a reconciliation, for example, between men and women, between the youth and the elders, between generations, and so on. On the other side of this transition is, for example, a new relationship with the earth, one that's more sustainable, a new relationship with the rest of life that's more compassionate, a new relationship with the universe that's more reverential, that's more, has a more sacred regard for the living universe that's our home. So that's what these stories do. They say, not only are you in transition, it acknowledges that. Like if you're a teenager suffering, yeah, you're in transition. But you're in transition going somewhere in your adulthood. Not only do you get greater responsibility, but you get freedom. And there are new freedoms that are coming along for us here. And as a human family, we've been under the kind of the parental guidance, if you will, of big business, the parental guidance of big government, a big churches, big schools, and all the rest. And now it's all breaking down. And what's we're being asked then to give up those parental sources of guidance, take it upon ourselves, take charge of our lives, and find a new way into a sustainable future. This is the most exciting time, I think, in human history, that we are alive right now at this pivot. Doesn't make it easy, but it sure makes it exactly what it is. It is pivotal, it's transitional, and we're alive to be a part of that.
And how do you, I mean, I know, I would imagine there's a lot of inspiration with connecting with the people you're connecting with and talking and sharing. However, getting those responses back of kind of the doom and gloom, how do you keep the positivity for the vision that you see unfolding, the life-enhancing, the fulfilling one, the positive growth?
Yeah. Well, look, you can just go to each one of these stories of great transition, and each one of them can go wrong, can go bad, in a sense. You can say, well, humanity is growing up. What if we don't grow up? Well, then it's really going to be a pretty awful future. Well, you could say another story. Humanity is on a heroic journey. Well, what if we're not heroes after all? We're villains and da-da-da. So each one of these stories has its downside, its dark side. And I think it's really important for us to acknowledge that this is an open question, whether we're going to make this turn or not. And so what I see is that when I look around, for example, take the story of humanity growing up. How many people actually manage that transition to adulthood? Well, virtually everyone, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't mean we do it
well.
And we're still struggling along, but we make it, you know. So my guess is that doesn't mean we're not going to do it, you know, as elegantly as we could. But I think we're going to make it, and simply because we have the capacities to rise to that level of maturity, just like we did from adolescence to into our adulthood. So I think that's what we're being called to do. I think that's in our interior capacities to do that. And I spent decades with meditation, which really grounds me in a really a grateful appreciation for the life force of a living universe that says, go for it. You know, this is you're the flowering, you're the precious flowering of consciousness in the universe, and you're able to look back and regard the universe with wonder and awe and keep going. So I think this is a great transition that we're in, and we have a great role to play in it right now, and everyone needs to step up. It doesn't mean we do the same thing at all, but every person on this planet has their unique gifts, and it's those unique and true gifts that we each have that I think are being called forth. And so many of us are living out our lives with our near gifts, things that we're pretty good at, and we're not necessarily giving the things that we're just truly, just absolutely gifted at giving, and that's what's being called for forth from us right now, I think.
I think putting it in the context of, like, our development, you know, quote-unquote growing up,
yeah,
I think that helps a lot, because then it seems like something manageable. And we all know people that did grow up, and, you know, and it is a little messy, but, you know, some people that did it before, right? It's messy.
Yeah, cut us some slack here. You know, we're just growing up. So, okay, yeah. If we say we're teenagers, often, you know, we'll say, look, I've got a tremendous amount of hidden potential here. Just give me a break. Just give me a chance. I'll show you an enormous amount of possibility. But I just need that chance, that opportunity. And I think a lot of people in the world feel that way, that if we can figure out a way to give people a chance, they will create opportunity in their own lives.
Mm-hmm. But it really is, like you said earlier, you know, as you're talking more and more, it's really sinking in that the not just the narrative, but there needs to change, but some kind of explanation. Maybe we're at a bridging point, how to bridge that old paradigm thinking, kind of very reductionist think. How do we shift that and bring it more into our culture, you know, obviously speaking about it, but that would seems to be a big key to perhaps people turning around and thinking differently about this and a new, you know, a vision coming in.
Right. My book, The Living Universe, really attempts to speak to this in a very deep way, in that, in my feeling is that for the last few hundred years, we've been looking at the universe essentially around us. The world around us essentially is mostly dead matter and empty space. And if it's dead matter and empty space, well, then it only makes sense to exploit that dead stuff for us, the living. And so immediately that view of it, essentially a non-living universe, produces an exploitive mindset, just naturally. And so there we've got the Industrial Revolution. Now, on the other hand, if science and the world's wisdom traditions as they are right now reveal the universe as not dead, but rather alive. And Plato, 2,000 years ago, Plato said, the universe is a single living creature that embraces all living creatures within it. So this is not a new idea. Plato said 2,000 years ago it's a single living creature. So if we can shift from a dead to a living universe perspective, it's going to bring a whole new level of sensitivity and regard and empathy, a field of compassion, a sense of communion and connection, and so on, into our lives. And so I think one of the most fundamental shifts that I think that's underway right now, both in science and the world's wisdom traditions, is to see the universe as a living, unique kind of living system in which we participate and we dance. We have our life. So it is a time of convergence and transition.
You talked about I love in your book The Living Universe the integrative point of view that there will be this, what you're kind of touching on, this self-organizing systems, and that there's more, I guess, integration than separation.
Yeah,
I'm understanding.
Well,
yeah, and
yeah,
And also, no, and the other thing I was going to say, and the body of light, I found that interesting as well.
Yes.
And touching on the common theme of light that's seen in all, you know, religious traditions, seen in, you know, spirituality or spiritualism, this idea of this light, or we are this body of light.
Yeah. Well, one thing I was doing in this book, The Living Universe, was to say, well, look, let's step behind ourselves as a biological being and say, who are we really? And the more and more that I looked both in physics as well as in spirituality, I saw four themes come up again and again, and it was that we're a body of light, love, music, and knowing. Light, love, music, and knowing.
Mm.
That's what we are underneath it all. And if you go to physics, they'll say, well, the whole universe is made out of photons, basically. That's the building block of the universe, that all matter is essentially frozen or condensed light. But it, obviously, if you go to the world spiritual traditions, they're talking about enlightenment and a person of light and so on. So light is just all through. The luminosity of the awakened person is all through the world's wisdom traditions. But then you say, well, we're also a body of music. And you go into physics and string theories talking about these resonant patterns that create that create matter. And it's all basically music. And that's what they're talking about in physics. But then you go to the world's spiritual traditions, and they're talking about the great sound of the universe creating itself. And so that the sound in nature is also an integral part of the world's wisdom traditions, and chanting and singing and so on as a way to come into connection, resonance with that, is an integral part of the tradition. So, once again, we're a body of light, love, music, and knowing, and to discover that then says, well, the physical body then is this biodegradable vehicle. The body is a biodegradable vehicle for acquiring these soul-growing experiences that we are a body of light, love, music, and knowing, and that's what we need to recognize before we die.
Wow. So that music, is that also the tone, the vibration, maybe where chanting comes in? Is it all the sound aspect of us?
Well,
or is
indeed,
it actual music?
Like, you know, just think for a moment. Every time you meet someone, you instantly get, it's like they're carrying an orchestra. And you may not think about it consciously, but you get the orchestration of their being. And you get the richness, you know, of the qualities of resonance of the being that person represents. Immediately they start speaking to you and you say, oh, okay, I get not only those few words, I get just the whole essence of that. And so those are some of the qualities that I'm speaking of. The deep, you know.
Something else, now that I have you on air, Duane, that I found fascinating with the shapes, this torus. Torus shape, this kind of, I don't know, conical, but then it flares out and then in, and it's, you know, in various, even in, I think
it's
you
a
had
donut.
It's a donut, okay.
A donut shape. And a tornado has a donut shape.
Because there's okay.
There's a funnel, and so that's a good analogy for it. But it's a dynamic donut.
Ah, okay.
And the universe is creating these at every level, from the atomic level to the human scale and then up to the level of galaxies. So you can find, if you want to know what the universe is doing, it's creating donuts. it's creating self-organizing, because here's the thing. I'm being kind of silly, but really it's the simplest geometry of a self-organizing system. And it means that the universe has a project, and it's creating, at every level, self-organizing systems. Now, let's humanize this. It means get a hold of yourself. It means take charge of your life. It means you're here to get a hold of yourself, take charge of your life, and bring the flow of your deep creativity into manifestation. That's what the universe is doing, and it's taken 13.7 billion years for it to get to the point where we can actually do that consciously, deliberately, knowingly. So we're very, very rare beings in the larger, I think, in the larger evolution of the universe, having the capacity to do that. And that comes from the Freudal.
Yeah, and I love also, which everybody, you're going to have to get the book to look at this, but, the visual of the thinking self, where you have how the torus is shaped. You go into the thinking self, reflective consciousness, oceanic consciousness, and flow consciousness. And I notice in flow consciousness, there's more and more of the donuts. They're like multiplying, or parts of them are growing out. It may be another way of looking at it, as we become flow beings.
Yeah.
So we become flow beings with a direct experience of creative participation with the unfolding universe. We become dynamically self-possessing while simultaneously open to the flow through of life energy. Oh, that's powerful. So is that where we're at, or we're going there?
Well, it's happening all the time. The universe is emerging at every moment. So what we are trying to learn how to do is surf. It's reality. Saying,
okay,
hey, it's arising. Let's dance with this. Let's move with this. Let's. It's not just sitting here static. It's emerging moment by moment by moment. So let's surf that reality that's happening. It's a living system. Let's engage that aliveness.
Mm.
So that's the flow.
So is that we're maybe awakening more to that? You say because it's always there. Okay.
It's always there, but it's saying, okay, I'm going to let that flow consciously live in and flow through me, and I'm in my expressions, my work, and my relationships, and my connections with nature. I am going to let that be a part of my aliveness, and that is what we're here to learn. We're here to learn how to live in a living universe, and we don't know that until we let that flow through us.
Mm-hmm. So it's really getting back to that flow.
Yeah.
Wow. Dwayne, this has been absolutely amazing. Everybody is abuzz in the chat. I know everybody listening in other avenues as well is buzzing with all of this insight and information and your positive vision.
Thank
you so much for all the work that you do. It's
thank
truly
you,
so needed and so critical to this part of the transition. So I really appreciate you being on Awakening.
And yours as well. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and that was Dwayne Elgin, amazing, amazing teacher, visionary, obviously speaker, author, and activist. The book that we were most talking about, The Living Universe, amazing book. Where Are We? Who Are We? Where Are We Going? Amazing, amazing book. Also, recently released and edited a new version of Volunteer Simplicity, especially for you, those of you that are also more environmentally focused, and one of my all-time faves, Awakening Earth. That one you can read, I mean, it's huge. But to me, you know, I go back to the books, even The Living Universe. I go back, reread, check on, okay, where are we at now? What's going on? There's some wonderful little gems in there. You can find out more about Dwayne Elgin by going to DwayneElgin.com and, of course, thegreattransitionstories.org. Thanks so much, everyone, for being here on Awakenings. As always, I love connecting with all of you. Next week, we'll be answering more questions, 12 to 12:45, and, of course, our Awakened guests, 12:45 to 1:30. And you can email me at awakenings@selfinlight.com for any questions that you want answered on air or any feedback, guest suggestions, or anything you'd like to share. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakened conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.